Join me in the unison prayer for illumination. God, pour out upon us your Holy Spirit, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be open to know the things that pertain to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's lesson comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went out once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. It will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on a deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will one who has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Colin, and thank you, Heather and choir. This is the 4th and final Sunday in our series on this parable, the parable of the talents, that Jesus told his followers shortly before his death. Our stewardship theme for this year has been sharing in God's joy, and that's the title for today because today is the day that we focus on the main character. Story, the one who invited the first 2 servants to come and share in his joy, the master. Now, why is the master the main character of the story? Well, aside from having the most speaking parts, the master represents God. Jesus told this story in the midst of his disciples asking him about the end times, about when Jesus would return, and what it would be like, and how they would know. So the master of this story represents Jesus. Even when he went away on a long journey, he was still the main character. Even when the master was away, it was his talents and his trust that the servants were putting to use, or in the case of the 3rd servant, not putting to use. The master was still the main character in the servants' lives, even though he was away, because it was his gift that was driving their lives. Or at least should have been in the case of the 3rd servant. Perhaps the biggest difference between the first 2 servants and the last one was this. While the master was away, the first 2 servants still realized that the master was the main character in their lives. Even though the master was gone, they kept on serving the master. On the other hand, the 3rd servant hid his money away, thereby legally absolving himself of responsibility for it should it become lost or stolen. And this begs the question, well, if he just ran and hid the money away, then what was the 3rd servant doing the whole time the master was away? His job was to be a servant, but whom was he serving? The master was away, and the third servant had washed his hands of what the master had given him. So while the first two servants still behaved as if the master was the main character in their lives, the third servant behaved as if the main character was himself. And you can probably see where I'm going with this. Is Jesus the main character in our lives? How would we be behaving if he were, and how would we be behaving if he weren't? Now, I can't imagine that any of us always manage to act as if Jesus is the main character in our lives. We all have minutes or hours or days, weeks, maybe even years when we probably act more like the third servant than the first servant, or the first two servants. The good news there is that the time is time and life are among the gifts that God has given us. And the greatest gift that God has given us is Jesus. And this means that no matter where we are, how far we've gone in the wrong direction, we can always turn around. That's what the word repent means, turn around. Then on the other hand, we also have times when we try to act like the first two servants, but we don't exactly double our investments like that one did, like those did. In this event, we can take some encouragement that the master did not reward the first two servants because of how much they earned, but he rewarded them because of their attitude. Their faithful stewardship was not in the doubling of the money, but in using it, in putting it to work, in continuing to serve the master even when the master was away. After all, if the master was worried about the servants squandering his money, then he wouldn't have given it to them in the first place. He would have done like he said to the third servant and just given it to the bankers to loan out at interest. But the master wanted to entrust his money to the servants. The master wanted them to go to work with it. The master wanted the servants to see what it was like to have use of the master's gifts. In other words, the master wanted the servants to share in his joy. And here's how the master responded to the first two servants. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with small things. Now I will put you in charge of great things. Come and share in your master's joy. So this begs the question, what is the master's joy? What is the master's joy? Well, what is God's joy? Well, to see this, let's go all the way back to the beginning. Really, the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Way back at the start of your Bible, we have the stories of God creating the world. In the first chapter of Genesis, we have the days of creation, or six of them. At the end of each of those days, God looked at what he had created, and when God looked at what he had created, what did he say? He saw that it was good. God looked at what he had done and saw that it was good. And then on the sixth day, here's what happened. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all he had made was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Well, moving on to the next chapter, we are told that on the seventh day, God rested. And a few verses later, we're told this. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." To work it and take care of it. From the very beginning, God saw that what he had made was good. Then he entrusted it to us and told us to work it. So in Jesus' story,
that we've been studying this month, putting the master's gifts to work was not just what the first two servants did in response to the master. It was an acknowledgement of God's original purposes. In fact, we might even say that it was a return to what God had wanted us to do in the first place, take the gifts and put them to work. Now, what about the third servant? Well, let's consider what happened back in the beginning. To make a long story short, God told Adam not to eat from a certain tree. Well, what did Adam do? Well, he and Eve ate from the tree. I guess technically Eve ate from it first, but then Adam decided to choose Eve over God. When they heard God coming, they hid in the bushes. And God said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I hid because I was afraid." So then what did God do? Well, he expelled them from the garden. They couldn't be in the garden anymore because when they were given the choice between God and something else, they chose something else. And that kind of life can't hold up in the garden. So while, yes, God kicked them out of the garden, they had really made the choice themselves. They had rebelled, they had sinned, and they were out. Now, fast forward to the story that Jesus tells. What happened with the third servant? Well, instead of putting the master's gifts to work, he hid them in the ground. He hid them. When the master came back, the third servant said, "I hid your gift because I was afraid." So what happened? The master expelled the third servant from the household. We got the creation story and we have the parable of the talents. And I'm sensing a pattern here. So let's go a little deeper. What happened when Adam and Eve chose something else over God? Well, they rebelled against God. Sin happened. They went out of the garden. And that sin, while it played out in Adam and Eve, the first really big place it played out was in their two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was jealous of Abel and killed him. And sin, distrust, and alienation became the rule of life. So, why did the third servant hide the money? Well, as he said, he was afraid. But why was he afraid? Well, I mentioned this last week, but at the time that Jesus was telling this story, there was a law in place that said if you were entrusted with an amount of money and it got stolen or you lost it, then you were held responsible. But if you hid it in the ground and it was taken, then you were not held responsible. So, what was the third servant doing? He was just trying to keep the money safe from thieves. He was trying to keep the master's gifts safe from sin. He had come to understand sin as the biggest thing to consider when using the master's gifts. In fact, that was one of the main purposes of the Jewish law at the time, to protect people from sin. They had oriented their lives around being afraid of sin. And that's not necessarily a bad thing in theory, but it can also lead us to act out of fear, even if that fear is other people's sins. And that's what was on the third servant's mind. He hid the money away because he was afraid of what might happen if he actually tried to use it. So instead of being governed by his responsibility to the master, like the first two servants were, the third servant was governed by fear. But just like Adam, he got expelled from the household because his attitude was not conducive to being a servant of the master. Now, if this sounds a little off, or maybe it sounds a little unfair, then consider how it sounded to Jesus' listeners. To them, the first two servants weren't necessarily doing the wrong thing, but they were taking a huge risk, putting the master's money to work in ways that they saw fit. And out in the world, no less. Not just in the household, but out there in the world where things are dangerous. And they would have understood, Jesus' listeners would have understood, the third servant's apprehensions. But the master's responses to each of the servants might have actually been a bigger shock. Not only did the master chastise the third servant for hiding the money, he even suggested giving it to bankers to loan out at interest. Now, another part of the Jewish law said that Jews were not supposed to charge interest to other Jews. So that meant that Jesus was endorsing the use of the master's gifts by people who were not part of the Jewish faith, by people who were not part of the selective group, by people who were not part of the group of people who call themselves the people of God. Jesus was willing for his gifts to be put to use out in the world in general. Just as surprising, though, would have been the master's invitation to the first two servants. Come and share in your master's joy. Really? Come and share in your master's joy? These were servants. The master wasn't just offering them more responsibility. The master offered them a place beside him. The master offered the servants a place at his table. They offered him the opportunity to know what it was like to be the master, to give the gifts, maybe even to see more servants put them to use. The master was inviting them to take on his own status, almost as if he was inviting them back into the garden. But here's the thing. Adam and Eve and the third servant all had attitudes that showed that they were not capable of living in the garden, not ready to live in the garden or in the household. But the way Jesus tells this story, the first two servants had attitudes that showed that they were capable of living in the garden, in the household of the master. Jesus was saying that the door is open again. In fact, Jesus is the one who would be opening that door, who did open that door. Jesus paid the price for sin. Jesus offers us forgiveness for sins. And by inviting us to turn around and repent, he invites us into the door that he has opened. Now, we can choose to live in fear and apprehension, or we can choose to be motivated by Christ to get back to our original purpose, putting to work the gifts that God entrusts to us. Now, the world today is not exactly like the Garden of Eden. But Jesus is also saying that we don't have to be in the garden to have God as the main character in our lives. We don't have to be in a completely safe or completely perfect place to behave as if we are always serving the master. Likewise, we don't have to wait for heaven to know what it's like to share in God's joy. We can share in God's joy by using his gifts and seeing the fruit that they bear. We can share in God's joy by knowing God's joy, by having Jesus at the center and seeing the joy he has in the work that we're called to do. Now, in order to do that, we do have to make, and it's a lot of work, we have to make Jesus the main character in our lives. Now, that's not easy, but it's something that we have to practice. And if we really think about it, we probably put other people and other things at the center of our own lives all the time. Maybe we put at the center of our own lives our spouse, or our kids, or our favorite team, or our work, or simply ourselves, our own desires. We put all of those things at the center of our lives at some point in time. And when those people or those things experience joy, we experience joy as well. We experience joy through the joy of those who are at the center of our lives. We share in their joy. And of course, God has given us all of those people and all of those things, and God is at work in all of them. But the reality is that at some point, all of those things and all of those people are going to let us down. At some point, we are going to let ourselves down. We aren't in the garden, and we aren't in heaven. We're in between, where we are still sinful. So we could center our lives around things that will inevitably fail, even ourselves, or we could center our lives around the one who's given us all of these things that we love and cherish and in which we find joy. We could center our lives around the gift, or we could center our lives around the giver. Even when all of the things that we try to put at the center of our lives let us down, God is still giving us gifts. They don't even have to be tangible gifts or obvious talents that we have. They could be simple blessings like health and friends and family and time. We can ask ourselves how we are using the gifts that God's given us, but we can also ask ourselves how are we using the blessings that God has given us. Maybe not just using them, but loving them, nurturing them. We could base our lives on the gifts, or we could base our lives on the giver, who always has joy in giving the gifts. Sharing in God's joy means knowing that He wants to give us gifts, that He's always giving us opportunities. And it also means knowing that He wants us to use them. Above all, it means knowing that He has given us the gift of Jesus, who gives us the freedom to do work in His name. In fact, calls us to do work in His name. In the book of John, chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus has risen and He's telling His disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Jesus sends us in the same way that He has been sent. Now, if that might sound too theoretical or esoteric, then there is a practical place to begin. We can begin with gratitude. Since this week is Thanksgiving, we already have an excuse to start. Even if Thanksgiving might be tough because of things that we've done or things that have happened to us or the pain of loss, we can remember God's gifts. We can be thankful. We can start by taking joy in the gifts that God has given, by being grateful to God for giving us those gifts and remembering that He takes pleasure in what He's given us, and we know His pleasure in using those things. So what has God given us? How do we see His joy in those gifts? Do we see God's joy in hiding from our gifts, or do we see His joy in using them and loving them? In the meantime, are we asking God to help us use them for His sake? Are we making the most of the gifts that God has given us? Are we making the most of the gift of Jesus, who gave His life so that we may know His joy? As we go out this week and consider the things for which we are thankful, let us go and be grateful. Let us go and be joyful in knowing God's own joy in giving them and His invitation to us to use them without fear, but with a heart centered on Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.